Rational Arts are a charity formed in 2019 after identifying a need for art to be made equally accessible to both disabled and non-disabled members of the community. The charity aims to bridge this gap and strives to give members of the public the opportunity to engage with art in a variety of ways. From accessible dance lessons for the visually impaired, which utilize beatbox-inspired audio description, to community engagement programs. To tell us a little bit more about what they do, I'm joined today by Rational Arts Artistic Director Nathan Gearing and one of the charity's trustees, Vignesh Murali. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Now, Nathan, you're the mastermind behind Rational Arts, but why the name?
Yeah, I created a methodology called the Rationale Method. This was as a direct response to a lot of people with visual impairments saying that they wanted the current provision of audio description to be more engaging. Because my background is hip-hop culture, I turned to hip-hop to say, okay, well, you know, how can we utilize the techniques within hip-hop culture to, you know, make it more accessible? And obviously, what are the most vocal elements of hip-hop? You have emceeing and rap, but you also have beatboxing. The thing is, with audio description, because it's linear, it can take a long time to describe like one movement. So it can take a lot of words to describe one movement. Whereas with a sound effect, like, you can get the idea of, like, you know, the speed and how long a movement lasts for, or the shape of a movement, you know, instantaneously. You know, so you could say something like, okay, the dancer slices the air with his hands. And then all of a sudden you get, you know, a bit more information than you would if it was just the words by itself.
And this is not the only research you've been involved in.
When I did my initial research with a lot of visual impairment organizations, I asked them quite a few questions. So, you know, one of the first questions was, okay, why is it that a lot of people with visual impairment don't go to the theater? They were saying that, you know, a lot of it is because they can't see the action. You know, the people that weren't completely blind, but the people that, like, you know, had, you know, some sort of sight loss, they said a lot of it was because they couldn't see the action clearly. So I was like, well, what do you need in order to be able to see the action? And they were like, well, we need the movements to change in dynamic quite abruptly. So from wide to narrow or high to low. And depending on your visual impairment, some people with visual impairments see better when they look down towards the floor. And that's because there's a, you know, the floor gives such a big blank space, which is good to have a contrasting of it. You know, a lot of floors are quite plain, where they're not, like, you know, busy looking with, like, you know, lots of other lines and shapes. And, you know, I was basically thinking, well, where does most breaking happen? It happens on the floor, right? And then obviously I worked with a visually impaired playwright called Kate O'Reilly. And Kate, she sees the world in 2D. So the world's like a flat picture to her. But when she watched my company Breakdance Live, she got experience of what it's like to see in 3D. And she never had that experience with any other art form before. So she seems to think that it's something to do with the angles at which we hold our bodies at, which aren't typical angles that you would see every day, but also the axis of what we spin at and things like that. We investigated into, like, you know, the visibility of, you know, breakdance for people with visual impairment. And I've also been researching into the accessibility of fire. And that is because with live performance, you know, some people with visual impairment have a tricky time tracking the performers on stage. So what I've been doing, I've been working with some people with visual impairment and basically just getting, like, what it's called a rope dart. And basically it's a rope and you attach fire to the end of it. And they've been able to tell me when I've been going left, when I've been going right, when this been going up, when it's going down, but also when we've been spinning the rope dart clockwise or when it's going anti-clockwise, they can identify it all easily. That's because of the sound, the accessible sound that it gives, but also because they can feel the heat. You know, we're at the early stages of research, but we're researching into the accessibility of fire and how it can be incorporated into live showcases and performances as well.
What other projects is the charity involved in, Vicks?
There's a whole lot of stuff going on. We've done some projects with the Sheffield Children's Hospital, when we did some bedside beatboxing for the children there. And we're lucky enough to get a big grant to do more of those sessions. But unfortunately, due to COVID, we've not been able to do that. And then we've got a whole load of other art activities like Smashing Street Art, Dr. Dex, which we haven't piloted it yet. Last year at Christmas, we had some breakdancing Santas, and that was just ridiculously fun. We work with Bluebellwood Children's Hospice on a fireworks project, and also providing dance classes to the youth group. And the biggest strand is visual impairment, but the second biggest strand, I would say, is the Trust and Care project, which I think is going to go really far. Last year, we were lucky enough to get a grant from National Lottery, and we actively sought out areas that we wanted to do the injury prevention course in. So we delivered a course in SIV in Sheffield. And also, we were lucky enough to do a course in Joseph Clark School of Dance as well. So when we get money, we don't let it, you know.
Not Joseph Clark School of Dance. It's not Joseph School for the Blind.
We changed it into the Joseph Clark School of Dance. It's, you know, we're actively trying to use that money. You know, it doesn't sit in our account for a long period of time. It comes in and we want it to go out because we want to use it to influence kids' lives as quickly as much as possible.
Within everything that Biggs is saying, like, the reason we're trying to incorporate things to hip hop is because of the research that we found in terms of just how much accessibility hip hop brings. So that's why it's making sense to see, okay, well, how can we utilize elements of hip hop to make it accessible? And for example, just because we may utilize elements of hip hop doesn't mean that it'll be like, yo, what's up? How you doing? We're cool. We're straight out of the streets. Doesn't mean it's going to be like that for every single project. I mean, like, for example, if we were to audio describe some things, it may not even sound like hip hop, even though I'm using like beatboxing sound effects. So if I was to say, like, you know, she jumps over a log, doesn't really sound like it's, like, you know, entrenched in hip hop, but that's where its roots are, if that makes sense. Within Trust in Care, what that project is, we work with young people in care to basically give them a platform where they can feel like that they are properly represented within their experience. Okay, and we'll do artistic activities that can range from drama sessions to dance sessions, stage design sessions to music production, you know, the whole shebang, really. And then we'll observe their relationship with their mentors. That will then create some scenes, and then the young people in care will watch those scenes, and then they will become our artistic consultants. And what I've also done is I've worked with a cognitive behavioral therapist, and we've developed a way of treating depression, anxiety, and PTSD through hip-hop dance. It's called, like, Acts of Creativity. If any person working on the project, if at any time they feel, you know, overwhelmed or emotionally triggered, we can give them sessions in distress tolerance and emotional regulation to basically make sure that, you know, everybody that's working on the project, you know, is being looked after and is cared for, because their well-being is of the utmost importance. But we just really want to just make a difference and make art accessible for all. We do have a strong focus on children and young people, but, you know, our sessions also work for, you know, people right at the other end of the spectrum. Like, we've got people that are in their 70s, you know, that have basically signed up to our dance course and things like that. You know, when I did the injury prevention course at the Royal Opera House a couple of years ago as well, again, we had people breakdancing in their 70s. So there's no excuse. There's literally no excuse for anybody. You know, we can literally tailor make a dance course to suit your needs.
If I wanted to find out more information, where should I go?
Well, you can log on to our website, and, you know, the best way to hit us up is info@rationalarts.com.
Get in touch. Hit us up at www.rationalarts.com, or, like my man Vig said already, hit us up at info@rationalarts.com.
Type in Rational Arts in any of the mediums, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, we're on it. So, you know, happy to answer any questions through there.
Nathan Gearing and Vignesh Murali from Rational Arts, thank you for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us, guys. Take care.